chapter 4. The next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at this idea of our new life in Christ. And so we'd love for you to come on back next week, and we're going to look at the second part of chapter 4, and we'll finish up chapter 4 next week. And so as we think about this new life in Christ, Paul speaks directly here in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 24. It says this: "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." If you want to write down a title for the message today, it's Before and After. Before and After. And our big idea for today is this: our after story is only found in Christ. Our after story is only found in Christ. Let's take a moment and ask God to help us to understand these words this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, this love that we've sung about today, that searches for us, that finds us, that transforms us, that's all-encompassing. God, I pray that we would see that love in the pages of Scripture today, and that your grace would transform us and remind us that our backstory doesn't have to be our after story. That our before, who we were before in Christ, does not have to define us any longer, but our after story, who you are making us, this new life you have for us, that it would begin to become a reality for those who are here today that don't know you. For those of us who know you, we would be reminded that our backstory does not define us any longer, but our new life in Jesus. Help us to see this today. Help us to see you clearly. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I've got these three books up here. They're journals. It's called the Live New Journal. And this was put together by a friend of mine named Rick Duncan. And it's really simple. Live stands for learn, and stands for inspect. So make observations through the text that you're reading. V stands for value. How will I value what I learned today? How will I value what I read in God's Word today? And then E is express. How can I write it in a prayer? So I've got three of these, and when the service is over, the first three people who come and ask me for these, you get it. It's free, okay? And it's a gift from our friend, and so we'd love for you to have those. And I might bring some more next week. Who knows? So you'll have to come back. But it's a great journal. I love that journal. And there's a reading plan in the front of it. So if you're new to the Scriptures, there's a plan to read through the Bible in a year. And so we'd love for you to check that out and grab one today. If they're gone, maybe I'll bring some more next week. So our big idea is this: our after story is only found in Christ. You know, everyone loves a good before and after story, right? We love a good before and after story. We love all the changes, all the investment, all the time, all the blood, the sweat, the tears that are put into making an after story. But the before and after photos don't show the whole story, right? They don't show the whole story. They don't show us the in-between. The in-between, the early mornings of getting up and working out. It doesn't show us the in-between, the bashed knuckles when you were hanging that drywall. It doesn't show that, right? The before and the after story doesn't show the in-between. It simply reveals the results. That's all we see is the results. The before and after celebrates the after and minimizes the before. It doesn't tell the whole story. If all it took was to take a before and after photo, how many of you would sign up for the after, right? We would all sign up for the after, right? We don't like the in-between. It seems that we all love these before and after photos and these types of things because it's what fuels shows like Fixer Upper, right? We got any Fixer Upper fans, right, in the house, right? She was like this, right? She was like, went straight up as soon as I asked it. Basically, every show on HGTV is a before and after show, right? It's shows like Biggest Loser and any type of transformation. If you're a gearhead, it'd be shows like these motorcycle shows where they build out motorcycles and they start with this old rusty frame and the next thing you know, they get this beautiful motorcycle. It's what fuels the craze for these types of shows. And if we're honest, really what we want is something to be transformed in 60 minutes or less minus the commercials. That's what we want. We want this transformation quickly and immediately. We love to see the transformation if it's packaged this way. But deep down, I believe that we all desire change, but when it comes to the process of change, not so much. We don't want to sign up for the process. We want to show up and sign up for the product. That's what we want. Why is this? I believe that the reason why this is because we want a happily ever after life while we aren't so much interested in the backstory. We're not really interested in the backstory and the in-between. The problem is that we're looking in all the wrong places for the result. And Paul is addressing for us this morning, if you really want the ever after life, you need a new life. You don't just need a better life. You see, that's what the world is selling us. If you just get this, if you just have this, then you will have the after story. You will have a better life. But the thing is we don't want just a better life, we need a new life. That's what we need. We need transformation deep down on the inside of who we are to have this ever after life. And so this passage shows us the difference between the before life and the afterlife. And maybe you're here today and you long for your life to be incredibly different. This passage is for you. This passage is for you. It's a life that's different than maybe the life that you're experiencing. Maybe you're here today and you've given up on your life being different. You're like, this is just who I am. I'll never be different. I'll always struggle. I'll always have problems. I'll never be the person that God wants me to be. I'll never experience His love and His embrace and His kindness the way that other people talk about it. This passage is for you. It's about a different life, a new life. Maybe you're here today and you've been a Christian for a while, but your life is beginning to look like your old life. This passage is for you today. You see, today's passage and the passage that we'll look at next week gets into the nitty-gritty of the before and the after and the ever after. God has something better for all of us. This passage is about a new life in Christ. And so Paul is going to describe the backstory of everyone, okay? And so he's writing to this church that has both Jews and Gentiles. And for those of you who haven't been with us, Gentiles is literally this big bucket word meaning everyone who was outside of being a part of the people of God. In the Old Testament, this was the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the children of God. And everyone else was Gentile. Everyone else in the Old Testament was apart from the love of God, apart from being able to participate in the kindness of God and the forgiveness of God. And it was meant for His people, His special people. And now in the New Testament, because Jesus has come, a door has been opened up to everyone. And so this congregation that Paul writes to in Ephesus has both Jews and Gentiles. And he reminds them, this is who you were. You were separated from God. He's giving them their backstory. Paul is urging them not to revert to the life they once had, but to embrace the new life. Anybody want a new life? Anybody? Right? Sometimes you look around and you're like, if I could just have his life, if I could just have a part of her life. And this passage shows us we can have not just his life or her life, we can have Jesus' life. We can have his name to define who we are and his life to define who we are. Paul is reminding them and us that the former life isn't all that it's all cracked up to be. But a new life is what we're destined for. So Paul is urging and pleading with the church at Ephesus to realize that our after story is only found in Christ. So to get this point across, we just have 2 points today. I know, ever since I've been here, we've had 3 or 4, okay? Today, just 2, all right? I promise you. Just 2 points. Our first one is this: we all have a backstory. We all have a backstory. Let's look at verse 17 through 19 and see this backstory. Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. He says, this is your backstory. Your backstory is you are apart from God. You're apart from Christ. You need to remember who you were. For some of you, your backstory today is your present story. Your present reality is that you are far from God. You don't know Jesus. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've read the Bible. Maybe you've been to multiple churches. You were raised up in church. But Jesus hasn't come into your life and made you new. He hasn't changed you. He hasn't saved you. This is your backstory. Your backstory is you're apart from God. There are some of us who have been transformed. Jesus has come into your life. He has saved you. He's changed you. He's made you new. You've experienced His grace. This was your story. You're no longer this. Paul says this. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. He's invoking an idea that he used repeatedly in the letter. You used to live like Gentiles. You were Gentiles. This was your backstory. He says no longer you're to walk this way because you're new. Paul wants the Ephesians, and he wants us to know today that this isn't the after story way of living. This isn't the after story way of living. And this is important for us because many of us as followers of Jesus are struggling with what we theologians would call indwelling sin. These things that we continue to hold on to. And essentially, we're trying to live our backstory while we're trying to live our after story. You know how crazy this would be? This would be like if on Fixer Upper, Chip and Joanna decided to transform the entire outside of the house, right? And do the cool little, like, you know, printed thing on a poster on the wheels and put that in front of the house, and they've transformed the landscaping. And the door, they painted the door, you know. They painted the house, and it looks like the farmhouse, you know. And they got the little flower boxes, and they've got all of that. And then they took the family inside the house, and they opened up the beautiful door, And they were celebrating this after. And they walk in the door, and the wood paneling is still there. And the green shag carpet with urine stains are still there. Right? And the hole where the rat's nest is still there. Right? This is what this would be like. And Paul is urging them, no. Your life is new. New everything. All new from the ground up, from the bones to the foundation. Everything is brand spanking new. That's what he has for us. And he says, no longer are you supposed to live like the Gentiles. This would be like on Fixer Upper if they said, can I keep the old chair that smells like cigarette smoke from the 70s? What would Joanna say? No way. Sorry. Right? Demo day. It goes with the demo day. Right? Essentially, this is what Paul is communicating. This was your backstory. It's not the way that you're supposed to live. But what does it say they were? Why was their backstory separated from God? Part one of our backstory is what Paul says here. What makes us Gentiles, people separated from God? Paul says that, first of all, you were alienated. You were alienated. This is a part of all of our backstory. Here's what's beautiful about that. No single person that's here today, including me, who's up here speaking, can say that my backstory was different than your backstory. We might come from different states. We might have had different parental raisings and experiences. We might have different traumas that we've experienced. But essentially, every human being, since Adam and Eve, we all have the same backstory. And the backstory is, apart from God, we're alienated. We're separated. But it's interesting that he uses this word alienated, separated from God. This word alienated is critical because it hints that you are not who you were supposed to be. Someone who is alienated was once close, but is now far away. This is the narrative of all of mankind. We were designed to be in relationship with God. We were designed to have communion with God from the very beginning. But because of our choices to sin and to separate ourselves from God, we have been alienated from Him. We have been separated from Him. Paul says this is what your backstory is apart from Christ. Your backstory apart from Christ is that you were alienated. And the reason why you're alienated is because of your sin. Our sin has separated us from God. You see, the life of God is the life you were meant for. You don't have to look past the very beginning of Genesis to see the life that we were destined for. The life that we were destined for was to walk with God and to talk with God and to be with God and to commune with God. That's the life that we were destined for. The life that we were created for was to be with Him and to enjoy Him. It's what theologians say is to love God and enjoy Him forever. That's what we were made for. But our backstory is marked by being alienated from God, saying, God, you don't know what's best. You don't have the right plan. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to define what my life is meant for. And that definition has left us alienated from God. You see, the life of God is one where we're close to Him, where His presence creates the soul-filling love and security that we all crave. But you go back to the narrative in Genesis, the moment they choose to alienate themselves from God, they're left with insecurity. They're left with insecurity. They feel shame. They recognize that they're naked. And they begin to try to cover themselves up. They're afraid. They're full of shame. Maybe this is you today. You come here today and church has all kinds of weird things for you in your heart and in your mind, and you come into this place, and rather than hearing what we sung today as love and kindness and goodness that God has for you, you feel shame. You feel fear. You feel separated. This is your backstory. This is not the life that God intended for you. And like Adam and Eve, when we choose to separate ourselves from God and walk away from God and not choose the new life that God has for us in Him, we are insecure. And we try to clothe ourselves with anything we can. The reason we do this is because we're alienated from God, and it creates insecurity, loneliness, and fear. But if you're here today and you've been saved by Jesus, this is your backstory. And you can't forget that. Because a part of this two-life thing, the outside being absolutely transformed, but the inside still having some work to be done and transformation needing to take place in your life, is because you're trying to live in both worlds. You're trying to live in the backstory while experiencing the afterstory. God wants something so much more for you than that. He wants the old to be gone and the new to come. That's what He wants for you. And if you don't know Jesus, this isn't your backstory, but your lived out present reality that can become your backstory today. Paul reminds them that prior to knowing Jesus and being in relationship with Jesus, with Him, their backstory was marked by being alienated. But what else does he say? Verse 19 says the huge part of their backstory, being apart from Christ, is not only being alienated from God, but our bigger problems are that our hearts are hard towards Him. So because our hearts are hard towards Him, we run away from Him. We're alienated from Him. See, our real problem is our heart needs to be given a new heart. What Paul talks about in Romans. We need to have an old heart of stone replaced with a new heart of flesh. That's what we need. We need this new transformation to take place. Alienation from God is actually a product of a hard heart. It's not that God can't be seen or found because He's made Himself easy to see and easy to be found. Scriptures tell us that even creation declares the glory of God. Why can't we see it? Because our hearts are hard. Why is it that you could come into this place today and say, man, Jamie did not preach the gospel today? So far, based upon orthodoxy, we've been preaching the gospel. If you're here today and you don't hear the gospel, it's because of this thing that theologians call spiritual blindness. And until God opens your eyes to the fact that your heart is hard and He puts a new heart of flesh inside of you and opens your eyes to show you His love and grace and mercy is better than anything in this world, you won't see it. You could read theologians over and over and over. You could read John Piper over and over. You could read Martin Luther over and over and never see the beauty of the gospel. But the moment He opens your eyes, you begin to see. You begin to see it on every page. The moment He opens your eyes, you walk down the street and you see the beauty of who He is and how He's made everything. This is the new life that He has for us. But the problem we have is when we live this Gentile life, this backstory life, we have a hard heart. The truth is that our hearts are hard. And we don't want to see Him or be accountable to Him. And the result of this hard heart is described. You see, we our minds and our eyes, if you're like me, as you read through that passage, we go directly to the fruit of a hard heart. We see sensuality, right? We see greed. We see those words. They jump off the page for us. And the reality is those are the fruits of a hard heart. A hard heart is calloused. Callous is what you get on your feet from playing basketball 5 days a week and twice on Saturday. I used to get these when I was growing up. A callus is what you get when a musician plays over and over. It's hardness on the fingers. A callus is what you get when you garden over and over. And it gets hardened over. And this is what Paul says happens to our hearts apart from God. They're calloused. Apart from God, our backstory is marked by building a wall around our hearts so we can't perceive Him, so we can't see Him. And that's our deepest problem. Our hearts are hardened, and so our actions follow. You see, who you are will always show up in what you do. It always works that way. Who you are will always show up in what you do. And so Paul says to the Ephesians, and we say to you this morning, what do your actions reveal about your life? Does it show you that the backstory of your life is still marked by being alienated from God and your hearts being hardened towards God and your life and your actions being calloused towards God? Is that your backstory? This is who the Gentiles were, and this is who you were apart from Jesus. And maybe this is who you are. Maybe this is who you are today. Someone with a hard, dead heart, alienated from God, craving the things that will never satisfy, calloused, sensual, greedy. This is who we all were. This was our backstory. But we can all have an amazing after story. We can all have an amazing after story. Look at what Paul says in verse 20. He says, but that's not what you learned in Christ. Assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. You see, the church at Ephesus had learned Jesus. They had learned Christ. They had learned about the transformation. You don't have to pass Ephesians chapter 1 or chapter 2 to see beyond what they had learned in Christ. They had learned about the spiritual blessings in chapter 1 that they have in Christ. In Him, they've been predestined. In Him, they've been loved. In Him, they've been forgiven. In Him, they've been made new. You've learned about this. You're hearing about this. You see, we can all have an after story in Jesus. The backstory of being lost and alienated and calloused and hurt and broken does not have to define you any longer. The message of Jesus and what we've learned about Him and how He came and He lived the life that we should have lived and He died the death that we deserve and He's given us grace and kindness and love and forgiveness. This can be your life. This can be your after story. If this has been your after story, this is the moment where you say amen and you clap your hands because your after story is so much better. This is the moment like on Fixer Upper when the things fly open and they see it and the tears begin to fall down their face and they walk in and joy fills their heart because the after story is defined by grace and love and kindness and forgiveness. This is what they had learned in Christ. You see, when you and I truly have our eyes and our hearts opened and we learned about the love of Jesus, the new life is what defines us now. Not the old life. Not the backstory, but the new story and the new life that He's provided for us. You see, in the story of Jesus, the beauty of God is revealed to us. And it's the thing we've actually been craving underneath the callous, dead, cold heart. It's what we've craved all along is communion with Him. And this is what He has for us. This is what He has for you and for me. And this story can become your story. Think about how getting caught up in a great story changes you and your perspective. Have you ever read a book or watched a movie and the story is amazing and you get caught up in it? This happened for me last Sunday. And Drew and I talked about this on Monday at our lunch. Anybody seen the movie Cruella? Anybody? Yeah, it's amazing. It's awesome. And I was not expecting it, right? I was like, oh, 101 Dalmatians, how good could that really be? But it's really a before and after story, right? And Drew could attest to you. I'm sitting there at lunch, and he's like, hey, have you watched any good movies lately? And I was like, Cruella. And he's like, Cruella. Man, and I started to unpack. I can't because it's like there's too many kids in here and I might ruin it for them. There's too many. It's not quite been long enough. But last Sunday night, we curled up on the couch and we watched Cruella and I got caught up in the story. There's so many powerful themes in that movie and it's all about the backstory of Estella who will become Cruella. It's themes of her before life and her afterlife. And her story really is marked by more mayhem and more destruction, right? This is the same thing that happens when you meet God in the story of Jesus. It doesn't go from more mayhem and more destruction, but to more love, more kindness, more forgiveness, more transformation. When you meet the story of God, your before story, your backstory is met with the power and the beauty, and it changes you. This is what Paul is reminding the Ephesians. You learned Christ. You met Jesus. He predestined you. He changed you. He opened your spiritually blind eyes. Why would you ever go back to your backstory? You see, when Jesus' story meets your story and takes over, the power for real and lasting change comes into your life now. So the power to love comes from experiencing His love for you. Rather than sensuality, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. You see this? The power to forgive comes from the story of His death to forgive you. So rather than you continuing to callous your heart up, you open your heart up to Him for kindness and love and forgiveness. The power to endure suffering comes from His story of suffering for you. So rather than when hardship comes into your life and it continuing to callous over your life, you actually see it as God's care for you. His kindness towards you, that you would be able to experience what the scriptures say, which is the fellowship of His sufferings. You actually see suffering in your life as a gift. You actually see it as His kindness towards you. You actually see it differently now because you've been made new. How about this? How about the power to break free from an addiction? It comes from Him breaking free from the grave. This is the new life that He offers you. This is the after story. And it's so much better than the before the back story. You see, when Jesus' story meets your story, a renovation story begins. Verse 22 through 24 is now going to start comparing this old self and the new self. And next week we'll unpack this more, but essentially he's saying that was your former way of living and there's a new way. There's a way that's radically different. See, change doesn't just come from a new knowledge of the gospel. Change comes as this new knowledge goes to work. We said this at the beginning. We don't just need a better life, we need a new life. And this is what Paul is getting at. Your deep internal core needs to be transformed. More specifically, it needs to be made new. That's why he doesn't say in Romans that he took your old heart of stone and repaired it. It says he took it out and replaced it. with a new heart of flesh. Your internal core doesn't just need some paint and a little makeover. It needs a new life. And it was new, but we begin to run away from that. And so Paul says, remember, your hearts need to be renewed. This is why we need this every day. We need this every day because our hearts are prone to wander from it. Our hearts are prone to say, you know what? I'm going to go back to the callous, sensual, greedy, former defined way of thinking. And so we need to be renewed. We need to be transformed from the inside out. You see, we don't really need a new set of to-do lists. We need a new heart. And we can't do that, but God can do that. The text says, be renewed. And what's interesting is it's actually past tense. When you look at it in the original language, this phrase, be renewed, is past tense. It means the action is done to you. The action is done to you. God does this to us. He renews us. He makes us new. So why would we ever go back to the former way of life? You see, what we can do is only open our hearts to the Spirit of God, and this is when the story of God, the gospel, starts to go to work on our hearts. And true and lasting change, the after story, only comes when the Spirit of God uses the story of Jesus to make the beauty of Jesus become a reality in your life. You see, the power to change and go from a backstory of being far from God, callous towards God, running from God, alienated from God, and finding our identity in everything other than God is not found in doing, but it's found in being. Being found in Him, being made new in Him. He does the doing, we do the receiving. The Spirit of God does the work of Jesus. You see, what you do is not who you are, but what you do will reveal who you really are. And when you finally see that God, for who He is and what He's done, has changed your life, you begin to put off the old self. And the old self is the you before you encounter Jesus. And it becomes your backstory. Because the after story is defined by Jesus. So the question is this: why is this important to think about? Why is this really important for us to think about? It's important because some of us are trying to live a half-transformed life. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get a little Jesus on Sunday, get a little Jesus at our small group or our D group. For those of us who are taking a break for the summer, a little less of that. So we got just this. We got just what we're doing for this hour on a Sunday morning. And we're trying to hold on to the transformed life from just that. And we're trying to live this half-transformed life. A life where you keep the old ways of living, but you experience the power that you really, really want just a few times. And I want to tell you this morning that that's living the before the backstory. That's old, broke-down religion. It doesn't work. It has no power. And Paul says in verse 24, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, the righteousness and holiness of God that comes from putting on the new self by grounding and centering our life on Jesus and His story is the only answer to broke-down religion. It's the only answer. You see, Jesus has come to transform your life, not just give you a better life. To truly provide an after story that's more fulfilling and more lasting than your backstory. And for the non-Christian that's here today, the enemy doesn't want you to hear this, doesn't want you to see this, and is spiritually blinding you. And God wants to wake you up to his love and show you the after story that's so much better. It's better than what you would believe that's being offered to you in the life apart from God. Life with God is more fulfilling. Because no matter what suffering you experience, no matter what hardship you experience, the beauty of the gospel is this, is Jesus is the only God who gets in it with you. Jesus is the only God who never leaves you or forsakes you. Jesus is the only God who will come into the mess of your life that you've made of it, and rather than condemning you, says, I love you and I forgive you. Every other religion says this, fix yourself. Jesus says, I'll do all the work. I'll do all the work. I'll do all the transforming. You just have to trust me. The lie the enemy is telling us as Christians is this, that your after story will always be mingled with your backstory. And that could not be anything further from the truth. Listen to what John 10:10 says. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, that's like old KJV, okay? Behold, the old is passed away, the new has come. That's the life that he has for you. Old passed away, new come. Anybody want that life? That's the life that he has for us, a new life. Not one that's just transformed on the outside, but one that's transformed from the inside out. See, we all have a backstory, but we can all have an after story. And you don't have to go any further than what we're going to celebrate this morning. If you want the after story, Jesus has paid for it. That's what's crazy about all these shows that we watch. We watch these fixer-upper shows, and they don't tell the whole story. You Google it, and you're like, all that pretty furnishings and all of that, not a part of the deal. It's not a part of the deal. Don't mean to ruin the show for you, but it's not. All the fancy little things, all the little plants, not a part of it. You can pay for it, right? But here's what Jesus did. He paid for our after story. He doesn't say you got to do something more to get the after story. You don't have to pay an extra down payment to get all the pretty furnishings and all the extra things. Here's what Jesus did. He took his body and he broke it for us. And I can't open these cups. Right? I can just open the bottom. Just the cup. There's the bread. Right there. He paid for it. He paid for all the after story. His body was broken for us, and his blood was shed for us. And so as we come to the table this morning, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, you get to celebrate what paid for your after story. That your before story, your back story, doesn't have to define you anymore. Your calloused, dead, alienated heart is no longer what defines you anymore, but it's what Jesus paid for you with. His broken body and his blood shed is what defines us now. That's our after story. And so in a moment, we're going to stand and a video is going to be played and We're going to pray, and we want to urge you, if you're a follower of Jesus, come and celebrate what's provided for you, the after story. For those of you who are here today that don't know Jesus, maybe this is your first time here and you're like, I don't know this message of the gospel, we would encourage you not to take of this, but to begin to think in your heart and in your mind, what has Jesus done for me? And how could my backstory become this after story? And we would encourage you to just simply give your life to Jesus, to say, hey, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and to make my backstory a beautiful after story. I want you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin, to be my Lord, my Savior, and my God, and to redefine my backstory and make it a new story. Make it a beautiful after story. That's what we would encourage you to do today. Would you stand with us as we pray?